this family that you have gathered together. Thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. You have sent your Son who brings us to you. Lord, would you be with me as I work through this passage today? Help me to be careful with your word, that I would speak it clearly, that I wouldn't taint it. Lord, I ask that you would be here and illuminate your word in our hearts as we ponder these words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we live our life out in a fallen world as Christians, it's challenging, even impossible without focus and help. There are so many barriers to faithful living, things that take us away from a focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. I've experienced many of them, maybe all of them. There are life's burdens that come our way, health issues, family issues, concerns, work issues, money concerns, distractions of the world itself that would call to us away from Christ, seeking wealth, seeking position, seeking experience, seeking power, and the rejection sometimes of the world around us to our Lord Jesus that brings us into conflict with the rest of the world and persecution even. And there is always the ever-present temptation to sin, to fail in our obedience to Christ and his commandments. How, friends, can we get through this and be faithful? How can I live my life well for Christ in the middle of this mess? How can we realize peace, the peace and joy that comes with obedient and faithful living for Christ Jesus? I know I can't do it, and I need help. Thankfully, God offers us guidance to success in this life that we're in and help in our struggles. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thank you, Lord. Friends, all of us have these barriers in our lives. These challenges are not new or unique for God's people. Jesus offers us relief from our burdens and rest from our soul, he says. Now, this letter to the Hebrews was written to a group of believers who were Jewish Christians. They were apparently facing persecution for their Christian faith, and they were tempted to abandon their faith or Christ's call, to reject Christ and to go back to life under the old covenant and the law. And the writer encourages them and us by explaining the superiority of Christ and the new covenant. His message is that it is total folly to turn away from Jesus. Foolish to return to anything less, anything other than him. It is catastrophic even to turn back to something that is unable to bring them into the relationship that is offered to us with God through Christ Jesus. Those who turn their back on Jesus Christ can only expect God's righteous judgment at the end, just as we read from the Catechism this morning. So Hebrews is a message of encouragement to live out our faith as we go through this life with all of its difficulties and challenges. How can we do that? By keeping our eye on Jesus and his gospel promise. Therefore, the old and new song that we sang this morning. Thank you, Pastor Haig, for that and the worship team. We have to consider this world that it is temporary. But we've been called by God to Christ Jesus, and that we are heirs of Christ's righteousness, and we have been given this great gift of eternal life with him, to love Jesus and follow him in response to his wonderful call. While the book is a single work that builds on itself, I've read it many times, and I would encourage you to go back and read it again. I took just a short passage from the letter today from chapter 12 that was very impactful to me in my meditations as the writer is starting his conclusions. It is a call to endurance in this life. Just before that, in chapter 11, the writer is offering examples of those who have lived Old Testament saints in obedience to God. He talks about Abel and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham and many others. These were called by God. They lived out their lives with difficulty, but their eyes were on the promise that had been given to them. They were looking to something greater, greater than the promises of great numbers of descendants, something greater than inheritance of the promised land in Palestine, something greater than promises of national dominance. They were looking forward to a life of promise beyond this life. He even explains Abraham's motivations this way in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. He says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." The new heaven and the new earth. So turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at the first four verses. I don't know what page number it is in your pew Bibles, but if you have it on your phone or your iPad, or you can poke around. It's in the New Testament. You can find it there. Let me read for you this passage. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." 3 points that I'd like you to take away from this message, and there are many more, I'm sure. To be successful in our lives as Christians, we are called to prepare, we are called to persevere, and we are called to pursue. Now, the writer here in this passage and throughout Hebrews uses the familiar image of a sports arena and athletes competing. In this picture, we are the athletes in this race. The heroes of the faith that he had stated, there are witnesses, and Jesus is our provider, our coach, and our example. The race that we're in, the race to be won, requires endurance. It's a long race. It's won by perseverance, by not giving up. Jesus was the first to complete the race, and we are called and encouraged to finish and join him. The testimony of the lives of the heroes of faith, those Old Testament heroes that he had mentioned, those who lived for God at cost to themselves, encourage us as we face our own challenges in this life. They all endured to the end, looking forward. The message, friends, throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament, is that as we live as God's children in Christ Jesus, it is not a casual affair. It's something that we do, not something we do just when we have time for it. Christ We are called to have Christ as our focus, as our purpose in this life. We are called to love Jesus more than anything or anyone in response to his grace for us. The analogy of an athlete that the writer is using here helps. Why? Think about athletes. Successful athletes are, they're focused. Their priority and their love is their sport. They prepare in training. They persevere through difficulties, and their pursuit is winning, to get through the race, to complete it. The writer here calls us to prepare as participants, in the race Jesus sets before us. We must be ready. The first thing we must do is get rid of anything that's a burden. You cannot complete a marathon with a heavy backpack on. I have a picture here of a guy with a backpack on. Maybe. He's not ready for a marathon. We can't complete our race like this guy with the burdens of this world holding us back. What are these worldly burdens? The writer says we must lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, seeking anything that distracts us from our focus on Christ, pursuit of wealth, position, fame, experiences, and many other worldly distractions. These have been a problem for me, and these words come back to me to help me focus every day. What does Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and money, or God and mammon in other versions. See, Jim, you're saying about wealth. I'm not distracted by wealth. Maybe you're saying I just get by. There are other worries that distract us from Christ, worries about daily living. The good news is we don't have to. Jesus says that our Father in heaven has all of those things covered. Knowing what we will need in this life, we have been set free to seek, to serve, free to completely obey without worry. I'll read for you a couple passages from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and then I'm going to read verses 31 through 33. Verse 25 says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And in verse 31 and 32, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." There's another big impediment to living for Christ, and that's sin. We're called to resist sin, to lay it aside. Allowing sin to ensnare us will keep us from finishing our race. We have another picture here of a guy with a sin problem. Can you bring that one up for me? There he is. He's having a hard time running this race too. Trying to run a race with a ball and a chain around our ankles is a difficulty. Giving into sin, friends, tangles us up. It keeps us a prisoner, keeps us from the joyful work for Christ. We separate ourselves from God and his guidance when we give into sin, but we are free. We are able to resist. We are no longer bound to sin. We are called not to let sin rule over us. Paul in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14 says this. He says, "Do not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Friends, we are not bound by sin. Thank you, Jesus. But our old sinful nature will cause us to desire sinful things. What help do we have? We have the Holy Spirit there to help us resist sin. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing things you want to do." Thank you, Lord, for that. But brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, even laying aside burdens, resisting sin, these are essential for our fitness to get through this life. They can't get us through the race in front of us. We are called to persevere. Think about the athletes. All successful athletes have gone through difficulties. Without giving up, they stuck it out. They've gone through injuries, they've gone through illnesses, even competitive failures. But one thing they all have in common is they don't give up. They use their preparation and their developed skills to keep on trying, to keep focused. We're called by the author here to run with endurance the race set before us. God's word helps here. Recalling the letter from James, he tells us, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." What does this mean? It simply means that when we have all these kinds of trials or difficulties that we're sure to have in this life, that God is using them to produce steadfastness, endurance in us for the whole course of our life. We must use our efforts in the race. God equips. We prepare using that equipping. We stay in the race and we pursue Jesus Christ. Follow after his leading, pursuing the path that is set before us. But friends, we are not able by ourselves. We need help. We're helpless and lost without the grace of God. That comes to us through the Holy Spirit and his power to encourage us, to empower us for the difficulties we face, and to transform our very hearts that we might be like him. The race that we are in demands perseverance, and that is developed in us by God and the experiences that we go through with him. Many of you, like me, enjoy watching athletes compete. We enjoy watching the best succeed in their competitions. I'm glad you're here and not watching the soccer game right now. Well, maybe you're following it on your phone. And there are a lot of kinds of athletic competitions. While different skills are required for each of these, one thing is true. All of the athletes, regardless of their sport, they need coaching. The best coaches are those who have participated in the sport that they're coaching. And the best athletes keep their focus on the coaches and seek their guidance and equipping. We have a coach in this race. Even more than a coach, we have Jesus Christ, who has called us to himself and stays with us through the race. We've got to keep our focus on him. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. It takes effort. The writer here says we are to look to Jesus. And in looking to Jesus, we have to turn our focus away from all else that would distract us so that we become single focus. We are guided by his word. We are guided by the Holy Spirit. To turn our focus on Jesus means that all other things that we might seek in this life to distract us from the Lord must be pushed aside. So I have a little personal story to tell. As I was meditating on this passage, I recalled a climb that I did with my youngest son, Stephen. You can bring up that picture of Mount Langley. Big mountain. Some years ago, we were regularly climbing. We climbed Mount Langley. It was just about 5 miles south of Mount Whitney here in California, one of the 14,000 footers here in California. The climb was challenging, not because it was the most difficult climb that we ever did, but because there was no path up this mountain. The lower parts, you got to find your way cross country through this unmarked high altitude meadow at about 11 or 12,000 feet. In the upper part of the mountain, there are only rock piles along the way. Can you bring up the next picture? I don't know if you can see that. And you get tired after climbing a long ways, and you need a guide because you just can't see the top. You see a rock pile, and you climb to it, and then when you get there, up this steep and challenging side of the mountain over loose rocks, you see another rock pile. But you can't see the end, and as you climb, you go up to the next, and up to the next, and up to the next, and you have to follow and focus on those rock piles. And when you get to the last one, after a long climb, you're at the top. But if you don't focus on those rocks in front, you will be lost, certainly, up on this big mountain in the middle of nowhere. And every year, people get sidetracked on those mountains, and they don't come back alive. Every year, success at the top, when you get there, brings a great view and a sense of accomplishment. But it takes preparation, it takes perseverance, and it takes pursuit to complete the climb. And our faith walk, well, this is not a great analogy, is something like this. We don't know the path that we're on. It's not clear where the Lord will lead us as he's bringing us on whatever mission he would bring to us. And we can't find the way without looking to Jesus. Without him, we're lost. Without him, we will fail. We look to his word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit that he sends to us. Friends, we follow because Jesus is trustworthy. He knows the way, and we know him, and we follow him. Our focus is on pleasing God and glorifying him. That he who has called us to himself, we cannot take our eyes off of Jesus and lose the way. The cost is simply too great. Thankfully, Jesus is our shepherd. And Jesus is more, he's not just a great life coach. The writer here tells us that he is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus came and brought the new covenant of faith to us. It is by his founding work that we have been freed from our burdens, freed from sin, renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a race that we can finish without him. Friends, we are not able to live out a life of faith on our own. We must look to Jesus, his word to guide us. We must trust in him who shed his own blood on the cross to provide for our forgiveness. We must take up our own cross and follow Christ in this race. Friends, Jesus finished this race already to provide for us and show us how to live out a life of faith. He endured everything, beyond anything that we will face, and he is with us all along the way. Friends, Jesus is our goal at the end of this race. He waits for us to reward us, those who endure and complete this race of faith. He is the rock at the summit of the mountain that we're climbing. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Jesus endured all difficulties that he faced. The writer tells us that he did that for the joy set before him. Joy? In all that he endured, how can that be? These things brought him to the cross. He endured the shame of our glorious God who came and took on flesh and humbled himself even to death. Friends, there is great joy given to us even in the middle of this life filled with difficulties. It's the unique and wonderful joy of knowing that we are in the will of God. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 say this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Jesus' joy was in fulfilling the Father's will, in providing for our restoration to God by his work. All of this, Jesus knew, in all of this, he knew that the Father's will must be accomplished. And he uses that language throughout. With Jesus as our example and the joy set before us as we are called, we must complete the race with endurance and the equipping and the encouragement of God. Jesus finished his ministry on the cross and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He is there interceding for us, guiding us, shepherding us, leading us to the end of this race, leading us to himself. Maybe you're thinking, this is hard. I'd say, yeah, you're right. It's hard. Living out a life of faith is not only hard, it's impossible without help. We're not without help. We're not by ourselves equipped or trained or ready for this race, but Jesus equips us. He trains us along the way through difficulties. He encourages us in this race. Jesus forgives us and picks us up when we stumble, and Jesus is the great treasure at the end of this race. What do we need to do? We got to stay focused on Jesus, run with endurance, trusting not on ourselves, but trusting and obeying Jesus. Earlier in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 13 through 14, the writer says, he says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Thank you, Lord, that you have surrounded us with this wonderful family to look out after us as we go through this difficult race. Friends, Jesus invites us and calls us to stay connected. And the Father in this work, how? By prayer. Jesus knows each one of us better than we know ourselves. We stay connected to God and his provisions of encouragement and empowerment by the work of the Holy Spirit through prayer. We may not know all that God will call us to or accomplish as we live out our lives in Christ, but we know it's good as we endure. We look to Christ Jesus as our example, our hero of the faith. We have not yet endured all that he has, and we may never, but the outcome is sure. The promise of eternal life with him is sure as we persevere in this great race. Friends, you have to consider, I want you to consider, I consider, as I go through these words, what is God calling you to? Are you answering? What are you doing to prepare yourself? Are you still pursuing things in the world to distract you? Or are you focused on Jesus? Are you allowing anything to interfere with endurance in your walk with the Lord? What are you doing to keep Jesus in focus in your life's walk? Are you in prayer? Are you in the Word? Are you taking that word seriously in your life? Friends, ponder and pray. Success in our Christian walk requires that we trust Jesus. We must make our best effort in the manner of an athlete to prepare, to persevere, and to pursue. And we will endure to eternal life in Christ Jesus as he has called us. Friends, maybe you don't live a life yet trusting in the Lord Jesus. Perhaps you're hearing these words of life about Jesus and you know that Jesus is calling you to himself. Let this be the day that you trust the Savior Jesus. If this is you, let me invite you at the conclusion of the service to come forward, meet with our prayer partners here in the front. If you have questions about this life of faith that I'm talking about, seek me, one of the other elders, one of the deacons, your good friend who is a Christian who may have brought you here, about this marvelous grace of God given to those who trust Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have called us to yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us, equip us, train us along the way. Lord, may we believe and trust and follow you, measuring every part of our life and motivation before you, that you might be glorified, your kingdom might be expanded. In Jesus' name, amen.